Good morning, church. Ephesians 5, 15 through 33. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respects her husband.
Well, through our lives, there are many examples set before us, and we ourselves set examples before many. Parents set an example, as do teachers, friends, and public figures. There are bad examples, poor examples, good examples, and excellent examples. But thanks to God, husbands, where we most need help, we have the perfect example in our Lord Jesus Christ. If men want to know how to love their wives in a divine way, as God designed, they only need to study Jesus and to follow after him. Beloved, God saved us by grace through faith in Jesus that we might become active, living imitators of him. And he has not left us in a vacuum to try to find our own way, but in saving us, he has given us his word and his indwelling spirit. As his Holy Spirit indwells us, we are also being filled with the Spirit for the purposes of living as Christ. So hear, men, we have the saving grace of God upon us. We have faith in Christ. The Spirit indwells us. We have the very written words of God for us. We can be being filled with the Spirit in every moment. Men, we lack nothing, but we have everything we need for life and godliness as a husband. We have Christ. We have his saving grace. We have his word. We have his Spirit. If we would submit to God in loving our wives in the manner for which he saved us, we only need to look to the example of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, church, then men, as we begin to love our wives, we will experience a life of grace and peace in our homes and to the glory of God. As we look to the Word of God this morning, we find our example in Jesus. In closing the fifth chapter of Ephesians, I've outlined this as follows. Husbands, love your wives with a caring love, just as Christ. Husbands, love your wives with a cleaving love, just as Christ. And husbands and wives, love each other with a corresponding love, just as Christ and the church. God's message to his people is grace and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace and peace rest upon the home where a Christian husband loves his wife and a Christian wife respects her husband. Further, such a marriage testifies of the Christ church relationship while demonstrating the reality of God's saving grace. Verses 28 through 30. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. Husbands, love your wives with a caring love, just as Christ. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. As always, but church, especially here in this verse, we must give careful attention to even the smallest words. And here, our interest is focused on the two-letter word, as. Upon examining a few word studies and reading perhaps a dozen reputable Bible translations, all but one read as the NASB has it, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. This does not say, so husbands ought to love their own wives like their own bodies. Neither does it say, as some paraphrases have it, so husbands ought to love their own wives as they love their own bodies. But the word says, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. So using physical terms to explain a spiritual reality, we men are called to love our wives as Christ loved the church, loving them not like we love our own bodies, but as our very own bodies. As Christ is the head of the church is his body. Christ does not love the church like he loves his own body, but he loves the church as his own body, for she is his own body. Each of us husbands, as Christians, when we see our wife, we should say, oh, there is my body. In Christ, in the covenant of marriage, I am one with her. I am the head, she is my body. I must not love her with the low level of love with which I love my own physical body, but I must love her with the same high and holy love with which Christ loves his body, the church. Skevington Wood writes, Paul returns to his analogy and declares that just as Christ loves the church, husbands ought to love their wives as being one flesh with them. Christ loves the church not simply as if she were his body, but because she is in fact his body. Husbands, therefore, are to love their wives not simply as they love their own bodies, but as being one body with themselves, as indeed they are. You might recall in the movie The Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy comes to the crossroads of the Yellow Brick Road, she meets the Scarecrow. Upon helping him down off the post, he falls and some of his hay stuffing falls out. Picking up that hay and stuffing it back into himself, he says, there goes some of me again. Well, we would never compare our wives to hay stuffing. How good it would be when we see our wife to think, there goes some of me again. Because she is our body. The marriage union is so strong, so compelling, so binding, so real, so deep and true, that the husband must not think in terms other than this. My wife is my body. Men, we are to love our wives as our own body. Because of this spiritual reality that God has made you two one flesh, it is then said, he who loves his own wife loves himself. Now about that statement, he who loves his wife loves himself, let's reason a little bit. What does the Holy Spirit through Paul mean by this? As many teach, is this meant to be a point of motivation? Men, you ought to love your wives because when you do that, you're loving yourself. I've heard that taught many times. As in, oh husbands, wow. When you love your wife, you love yourself. The more you love your wife, the more you love yourself. So start loving your wife a whole lot, because then you'll be loving yourself a whole lot. Do we think that that's what the Holy Spirit is motivating us men to love ourselves by loving our wives? I want to say, I don't think so. I think that's rather odd. As Christ loving the church is our high example, I just don't see Christ being motivated to love the church for the purpose of loving himself. I find the statement, he who loves his own wife loves himself, to simply be a statement of fact and reality, confirming and emphasizing the reality of the oneness of the husband and wife. The husband and wife are so completely one that the two cannot be divided except by a putting asunder. So the divine reality is this: when a husband loves his wife, he is in fact loving himself, for she is his body. That's the spiritual reality here emphasized. So men, we're not here motivated to love our wives so as to involve ourselves in some kind of twisted effort at self-love. Husbands, it is so true that we are so perfectly one with our wives that when we love them as they are our very own body, we are in fact loving ourselves. That is a spiritual truth, and I think that's all the Holy Spirit is really trying to drive home there. Christian husband, does Christ live in you? Are you being filled with the Spirit? Are you saved by grace through faith in Christ? Are you sealed for the day of redemption? Has Paul prayed for you? Then walk worthy in demonstration of the glory of God's saving grace by loving your wife as she is your very own body. Verses 29 and 30. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. Last Lord's Day, I told you about the time I was crying out to God, telling God that I didn't know how to love my wife. And I was desperate. I was trying to find some examples that I could go to, and I couldn't find any. I was begging and pleading with God that he would teach me how to love my wife. And in answer to my prayer, this passage came to mind. And I have to tell you that it was this 29th verse that most struck me and was most enlightening to my understanding of how I ought to love my wife. Now, at first, when I read that verse several years ago, initially, I was very dissatisfied. I felt that's not teaching me what I need to know. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Okay. That's still too far abstract for me. You know, I have a thick skull. It's hard to get through. I needed something more concrete, and thanks to God, in his mercy, he provided it. As I looked into that word nourish, an entirely new understanding opened up to me. It was enlightening, and I tell you, it was life-changing, as it gave me a very clear and relatable example of the kind of love I was to have for my wife. The word nourishes is from the Greek ektrepho. In all of Scripture, that word is only found here and then in chapter 6, verse 4. If you've got your Bibles open, let's look at that verse, because this is the only other place it's found. It's only found in Ephesians and these two places, the verse we're talking about, 5:29 and 6:4. And what does it say at 6:4? And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up, treffle them up, nourish them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Spiros Zodiades defines treffle as meaning to nurture, to bring up to maturity, such as a child. Another source defines treffle to nourish up to maturity, to nourish in general, to nurture, to bring up from childhood, to raise a child to maturity by providing not only for the physical, but also the emotional and soul needs. BibleStudyTools.com defines it treffle as to nourish, support, to nurse, to fatten, to bring up, to nurture. Here's an example of a treffle as found in secular Greek writing. I have made the agreement, and I will nurse ektrephel. I will nurse the infant slave for 2 years. It is most notable, or I will tell you, at least it was to me, that Paul employs a term that was used to speak of someone nurturing a child. So we understand why he employs it in chapter 6, verse 4, with fathers bringing up their children, nurturing them up, ektrepheling them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Yet in 5:29, Paul uses the term to tell husbands how they are to lovingly care for their wives. Now, I've searched, and of course, my searches aren't exhaustive, but I cannot find another place in all of ancient literature where that word is used in relationship to a husband caring for his wife. It's absolutely, to my best understanding, unique here in the scripture. Suddenly then, a light turns on for me. Well, I didn't know how to love my wife, I knew how I loved my children. And I love my children like this, ectrepho, to nourish them with a caring, nourishing love where with I was committed to their best in every area of their life, and that for the rest of my life. Though I needed to grow in it, no one had to teach me how to have that love for my children. It was there before they were born, that love to care and protect and to decide and determine how I was going to care for them was absolutely there. That nurturing love was there before my children were born, and I've seen and I have marveled at that love in my wife for the children and now the grandchildren. As I understood that I was to nourish my wife like this, a new door opened for me, for I knew I had not been loving my wife in that way. In fact, I had been loving my children in a more excellent way than my wife. Changed my life. Quoting a good article from Bob Lapine, when Paul challenges men to nourish their wives, he uses a unique word. In fact, the word nourish, ectrepho, is only found one other place in the Bible. A few verses later, Paul tells men not to exasperate their children, but to bring them up, ectrepho, them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, he says, is a husband to bring up his wife? Does that mean he should treat her as one of his children? The answer, in a special sense, is yes. He is not to think of his wife as a child, nor is he to relate to her as a child. She is his body. She does not need to be brought up to maturity the way a child does, but the Bible is teaching here that a husband is responsible for his wife's ongoing physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional growth. He is to care for her. He is to shepherd her. A man should not only nourish his wife by being a provider, but he should also nourish her soul. As his children, he nourishes them in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. The old Puritan preachers knew this well. They would remind men that failure to provide for the physical needs of their family made them worse than pagans. See 1 Timothy 5:8. But what good does it do, they would ask, if we care for their bodies but neglect their souls? Should we work diligently to satisfy their material and physical needs in this life and take no regard for their souls, which will live forever? As we would nourish our children both physically and spiritually, how much more, Christian man, must we nourish our wife, who is our body, spiritually and physically? And to be sure, we must hold our marriage relationship in the first place of importance over and above the child-parent relationship. So for me, I guess this is as much personal testimony as it is exposition. For me, knowing how naturally I love my children with a nurturing love and finding here that I am to love my wife, nurturing her with that same kind of caring love while holding her in the first place, I began to understand how terribly deficient my love for her had been, and it was terribly deficient. I'm sorry, honey. Ever since, I've been seeking and striving to love her with the Christly nurturing love. How thankful I am to God that He taught me this. He is the God who hears our prayers, amen? Today, while I'm still striving to perfect this love, even as Christ, I'm thankful that He has helped me to comprehend this love and to improve upon it over these many years, and my wife gave me permission to say that I was improving. Men, if you want a picture of how you are to lovingly care for your wife, nourishing her, then consider your caring, nurturing, protective love for your children. And remember, you nourishing your wife gets the first place before your children. And I will add this. You will love and care most for your children when you most love and nourish your wife, even as Christ does the church. Men, God saved us for this. We are to nourish and cherish our wife, just as Christ also does the church. You'll get a bang out of this. Cherish is from the Greek thalpo. Like the word nourish, it appears in the Bible only one other time, and that usage is very informative. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. Do you want to turn there? I'll give you just a moment. We're looking at this word cherish, trying to understand how it applies to us husbands as we love our wives. So 1 Thessalonians 2:7. The Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Thessalonica, and he says, "But we prove to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares, that is, cherishes her own children." Isn't that fascinating and instructive? The way a husband is to cherish his wife is expressed by the way a nursing mother tenderly cares for her baby. Define cherish means to warm, to keep warm, to cherish with tender love, to foster with tender love. And isn't this how Christ cherishes his body, the church, with a warm, tender, caring love? MacArthur writes, "To cherish a wife is to use tender love and physical affection to give her warmth, comfort, protection, and security. These responsibilities are primarily the husband's, not the wife's. As Christ provides for his church, so is the husband to provide for his wife. Again, men, I tell you, we were saved for this. We were saved by grace to show this grace to our wives, to cherish her. This, men, as husbands, is how we walk worthy. This is what the Spirit-filled life looks like. We nourish and cherish our wife because she deserves it, because God commands it, because we are people of grace and peace. We show unmerited favor and what peace that brings to our marriage. Now, why does Christ nourish and cherish us? Because we are members of his body. So men, in imitation of Christ, we are to nourish and cherish our wife as our own body. And that's because through the marriage covenant, God has made you two one. Verses 31 and 32. "For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Husbands, love your wife with a cleaving love, just as Christ." Paul here refers to the Genesis account. Francis Fuchs states that Genesis 2:24 contains the most profound and fundamental statement in the whole of Scripture concerning God's plan for marriage. In this statement, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, for the two shall become one flesh," in that statement we find God's priority for marriage, we find the permanency of marriage, and we find the reason for this priority and permanency. For this cause, for what cause? It is for cause of the fact that God created the woman from the man's side, and for cause of the fact that when God presented the woman to the man, he was so delighted, and for cause of the fact that the marriage relationship was the first human relationship. The first relationship was an apparent child relationship. It was a marriage relationship. It is for cause of this fact that a man shall give the utmost priority to his wife, leaving his father and mother and leaving them as in a secondary relationship. No human relationship supersedes the marriage. None. Note how I said that. I did not say no human relationship is to supersede the marriage, but that in fact, no matter how we might try to prioritize our relationships, no human relationship supersedes your marriage. That is in the eyes of God. Because marriage is God's design and institution, the man shall leave, not may leave, not should think about leaving, but shall leave his father and mother. Of course, this leaving a father and mother is not to the point of dishonoring one's parent. It is not to the point of neglecting godly duties to our parents. It is not to the point of cutting off all relationship with our parents, but it is to the point of setting the marriage securely and unquestionably above the very important but lesser parent-child relationship. As God designed and commands, all human relationships, the marriage has the unquestioned priority. There is nothing, men, in this world that we put above our wife and our marriage. And we do that in obedience to Christ and in worship of God. There is to be a loosening of the parental apron strings and a permanent binding together with one's wife. Thus it is written, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Cleave means to be joined in a permanent fashion, to be glued together as one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And we know the word of the Lord, God hates divorce. I want you to listen to a description of the love Christ has for us and how inseparable that love is. From Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if that is how secure we are in the love of Christ, and husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church, then husbands, we are to so cleave to our wives that they, with hearts sealed, would be able to say, oh, how my husband loves me, even as Christ loves the church. What will separate me from the love of my husband? Neither tribulation nor distress, nor persecution, nor famine, nor nakedness, nor peril or sword. I am convinced that neither angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of my husband, for he loves me even as Christ loves his church. Men, we must secure our wives. We must cleave to them so that they can say, there is nothing that will separate me from my husband's love. As the church will not be separated from the love of Christ, O husband, cleave to your wife. God has made you two one flesh. Cleave to your wife. Again, I tell you, God saved you for this. This is what it looks like to walk worthy. This is that for which the Holy Spirit fills you. Cleave to your wife. And Paul writes, this mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. This mystery is great, that is, it's mega. Well, what mega mystery does Paul speak of? Robertson, in his word picture, states, clearly, Paul means to say that the comparison of the marriage to the union of Christ and the church is the mystery. And here, the mystery is revealed. The marriage is an earthly reflection of the Christ-church relationship. The Christ-church relationship. Christ has come, and because it is the age of the church, this previously unknown mystery has been revealed. It's now known. The church is the beloved bride of Christ. As he is the head, she is his very own body. Christ and the church are one. Rejoice, church, for in Christ We have a most faithful and loving husband. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He loves you so that he laid down his life for you. Having been saved by grace through faith in him and being at peace with God, he nourishes and cherishes you. Even as he cleaves to you, you are one with Christ. And nothing, dear believer, nothing will separate you from the love of Christ. You are one with Christ. See how Christ loves his church. Men, Christ's relationship with his church is your example. The mystery is revealed. Therefore, love your wife as your own body, even as Christ loved the church. Think about this, men. We're very blessed because the men of the Old Testament didn't have that example. But being on this side of the cross, we have that perfect, beautiful example in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. Husbands and wives, love each other with a corresponding love, just as Christ and the church. Nevertheless, that is, moving from the profound mystery of Christ and the church, let us finally state the essential graces the Christian husband and wife are to show the other as they walk worthy. Let each husband among you also love his own wife even as himself. Here is the primary duty of every Christian husband. Husbands, this is the reason, as a husband, that God saved you and sealed you with his Holy Spirit, that you would love your wife as Christ loves the church, for she is your body, just as the church is the body of Christ. And here is the primary duty of every Christian wife. You are to see to it that you respect your husband. That is, you are to be diligent in it, to make sure it happens, to purposefully and actively give yourself to God by respecting your husband. To disrespect your husband is to disrespect God. To respect your husband as one who is being filled with the Spirit is to honor God. So wives, are to respect your own husbands as the church does Christ. So in closing, men, we have Christ as our supreme example, teaching us how to love our wives. As you have been saved by the unmerited favor of God, meet your wife with unmerited favor. As Christ has brought you to peace with God, bring Christ's peace into your home, living at peace with your wife. Introduce grace and peace by loving your wife as Christ loved the church. Love your wife, nourishing her, cherishing her, cleaving to her, loving her as your own body. And wives, live in grace and peace by seeing to it that you respect your husband for the glory of God. Husbands and wives, I'll say it one more time. You were saved for this. You were saved for this. You are empowered by the Spirit for this, and you have the Word of God instructing you. Walk worthy. Would you please bow your heads with me? As your heads are bowed, I would like for you to thoughtfully listen as I talk to you just before I pray. Over the last weeks, we have heard much of the love Christ has for his church. Christ Jesus gave himself up for the church. He left the glory of heaven to become God in flesh. He suffered the human experience in every way as we, yet without sin. He lived a perfectly sinless life, a perfectly holy life, yet he gave himself to suffer death, even death on a cross. And he suffered the cross to redeem a people like us, that a people who were lost in sin would be redeemed, and not only redeemed, but become his church, his body. See how he loves us. He sanctifies us. He washes us with the water of his word. He presents us to himself in all our glory, that we would be holy and blameless. He loves us as his own body. He nourishes us. He cherishes us. He cleaves to us. Being saved by grace through faith in Jesus, we are one in him. The mystery is revealed. How wonderful it is to be a member of Christ's body. What blessings come upon those who trust in him. If you have not believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, the one and only Savior who died on the cross to redeem you from sin to everlasting life, then I tell you, if you have not done that, you are missing out on all his loving benefits, both here and now and forever in heaven. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible says that if you will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. When you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a member of his body, and he will love you as we have heard that he loves the church. Will you turn to him? Will you quit going your own way? Will you repent of your sins? Will you turn to him and follow him all the days of your life? Believe in Jesus. Let him love you as he would. He is the perfect husband who loves us as his own body. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your sanctifying, cleansing word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have loved us so much, that you would save us by your grace, by your free, unmerited favor toward us, and that you then would grant us the faith that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You are the great and true Father. There is not another like you. And Jesus, because we look to the Father, we now look to you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you did descend from the glories of heaven, born as the babe in the manger to the Virgin Mary, becoming God in flesh, the eternal one, humbling himself, become a baby, to experience the human life, the humanity, yet without sin. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took on human flesh so that you could live in our stead and die in our stead. And we know, Lord Jesus, that you, when you died on the cross, you indeed suffered the punishment due us for our sin. You are our substitutionary atonement, and we thank you. We bow low before you. Lord, you are the one who saves, and you are our Savior. Now, being saved by grace and at peace with God, we thank you, Lord, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit, that he abides and dwells in us. And then today, Lord, with the text as it has been, we men bow our hearts low before you, and we repent of our sinfulness. We repent, Lord God, of our failures in loving our wife as you would have us. Teach us, Lord, how to love our wives. May we, as those who trust in Christ, look to Christ to see and understand how he has loved the church. And may we be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we imitate him in our home as husbands, cherishing our wives, nourishing our wives, cleaving to our wives, not loving them like we love our own body, but loving them as our very own body. And Lord, by your Spirit, help us. Help us moment by moment. May this be a day of change for us, where we men leave this place changed. Where we men, day by day, and Lord, help us moment by moment, are reminded that our wife is our body and we are to nourish and cherish her and cling to her. And Lord, I pray that our wives will be so secured in our love that they will not want out of the marriage, that they will never wish they would not have said, I do. But Lord, that it'll be so set in their heart that as they see that their husbands love them as you have loved the church, that they will say, nothing will ever separate me from the love of my husband. And then, Lord, may the wives see to it that they respect their husbands. Work this in us, Lord. Be glorified in us. We ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.